I was speaking the last time about the Lord who has many names, or known by many names. And we talked about El Shaddai, which really stood out. We talked about the many-breasted one, talked about his all-sufficiency, his feeding us. And that's one of the things I want to talk about tonight. In fact, I'm thinking about how the Lord feeds us. He feeds us. He feeds us because we need to be fed. We need the nutrients that God would provide for us. Now, we needed them before we recognized the need for them. But God is here to provide for us the things that we need. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is the Lord who does provide. But tonight, we're going to deal with a particular part of that, which I'm focusing in on the model prayer, that part here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. It says, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." But the part we're focusing our attention upon, it says, "Give us this day our daily bread." I'm using that as a title, our daily bread. Give us this day the bread that's sufficient for today. In other words, he is saying he proportions, he has a way of dispensing to us what we need daily. It's proportioned based upon what awaits us within this particular day, because we understand that we step into a new day and it's a mystery. Things that are unknown are there awaiting us. But the Lord, who is omniscient, has full knowledge of all things. So what he does, he feeds us before he sends us out on our mission, so that we are fully prepared to accomplish what he has sent us out to accomplish. Now, like the song would say, he talks about grace for, strength for today, and grace when he talks about strength and hope for tomorrow, we can see it also as grace for today. He graces us for today. He gives us what we need for today. But it positions us to have hope for tomorrow. Now we are postured to look forward to the future, knowing that God is with us. Since he has provided for us, not only does he provide for us, he is with us, he is in us. And he is working his work through us for today. And here's why it's hope for tomorrow, because the same God who has done what was done in the past will do even more of the same, much more of the same, as we continue to trust him. Now, when I think about God's provision, and we've been talking about his sufficiency and his provisions for us, one of the things that the scripture out of Psalm 68 and 19, this is a praise unto the Lord, because here the psalmist was praising God in reflecting upon those provisions. He was saying, in essence, he said, "Lord, you have provided, and it is a matter of recognizing the provisions of the Lord." And he began to say, "Bless the Lord, who daily loads us with benefits." He daily loads us with benefits. Every day is saying that the Lord doesn't just provide benefits, but he loads us with benefits. And then when he began to look at the benefits that had been given, or the provision that God had given, he said he realized that these things weren't just given for us to do as we please. He said, but what God has given us, he said, it brings us to the place where we begin to see that which God desires to do through us accomplished. And he leads us. He is the God of our salvation. We understand salvation has to do with spirit, soul, and body. So when God provides for us, he is giving us provisions that lead us to the fullness of our salvation. so that now we're at a place where we understand spiritually we're saved, but now we begin as a spirit soul. Our soul is being saved, and ultimately our bodies will also be saved. So what God has done, can you imagine this? He's already given you. He has placed within you, and he has continued to load you daily with what would be required for that salvation to be fully manifested. I'm giving you several scriptures. This is what I believe is in the message. It says, our God is the God of salvation, and to God the Lord belongs. This is the second part of that. He said, our God is the God of salvation, and to God the Lord belong escapes from death. So it is saying, in essence, the second part of that scripture, verse 20, it says that he is a God of, first of all, he loads us with benefits that lead to salvation because he is the God of our salvation. And he is a Lord who brings us a place where we escape death, because the opposite, if God had not provided for us, the outcome, if the visions had not been there, would be death. So in other words, let's put it this way. God preserves us so that we are preserved, that we may live and not die. Oh, that's really good. Now, with this, as we talk about our daily bread, I'm going to say some things I trust will really be helpful. We begin to look at how God calms us down, because he wants us to know that every day what God has provided for us, it counteracts something. You see, it is a defense mechanism against something that the enemy is trying to do. Now, you understand what we're in a battle. We're in a warfare. So the enemy is doing something to try to destroy us daily. The enemy is doing something every day to try to tear us down. Every day. You don't see it. You don't understand it. But I would say you're bombarded with things that are happening around you. We talked about the mystery of iniquity. We talk about how all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord, but understand how the enemy, all of his activities are working together for the destruction of those that he would or could destroy. But God is here to preserve us. We talk about salvation. He's the God of our salvation. So now, here's what happens. So we're at a place where we're understanding the battle between good and evil, between, I would say, it's not just where the enemy is trying to destroy us and God is here to save us. That's the battle in every one of our lives. But here's what and when you look at it from, let's say, a natural point of view, you'd be disturbed. You say, who's going to win this battle? Who's going to win today, every day? Who's going to win the battle? Is God going to be victorious today, or will the enemy this day defeat me? Do you see that? So what happens, a lot of folk thinking this way, and it can manifest in various ways. A person that will say, well, I don't know, I got a problem here, I don't know how they're going to work it out. So they start worrying and fretting. They begin to, you see, all of these thoughts will come to mind, where the enemy will begin to bombard the mind with a lot of thoughts. But then Jesus already had this in mind even beforehand here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. He says, therefore, do not worry. He gave an example of lilies and birds of the air, fowls. You see all of that. But then he says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? We mentioned already, God provides. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? He says, for after all these things, the Gentiles are pursuing. They're seeking after those particular things. He says, but here's the Lord who provides daily for you. For your heavenly Father already has knowledge of the fact that you are in need of these particular things. So he's putting trust in God, being in a place where you're confident to know that God already has knowledge of the things that you need. So it talks about your daily provisions. God has knowledge of that. He said, but here's what he's saying. He said, but rather seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now understand what he's saying. It is really saying he changes your focus so that now your pursuit is for the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Beforehand, it was for your daily bread. You see that? It's for your daily bread. It was for your daily clothing. It was for the things that you would otherwise be pursuing. And he says, that's what the Gentiles or those that are not in covenant are seeking after. He said, that's not what you're seeking after, because God already has knowledge of the fact that you have need of these things. So then you say, well, why is it? How is it that there are those that are Christians that are still lacking in these particular areas? Mind you, understand what we're saying here. Oftentimes, when we're disengaged in the activities of God, when we are disengaged in the activities of God, then what could very well happen in many instances is that our attitude and our disposition will be of such that we are focusing primarily upon how we might get what we need for ourselves. But here's what he's saying here. He is saying, now, here's how God will provide. He says, now get your mind for what you might have need of and grow to that place of understanding that God has knowledge of the fact that you need them. That's a whole different place. If you don't think that God has knowledge of the fact that you need them, then understand there's a deficiency in the area of faith. He says, but here we have knowledge that we have needed these things. He said, but now our pursuit is for the kingdom of God and his standard of righteousness. And as we pursue the kingdom of God and his standard of righteousness, here's what God will do. He says, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Now we're speaking corporately now. We're speaking corporately, because here's what happens. When we begin to focus our attention corporately upon the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then what we receive from the Lord, I would say our surplus oftentimes may be the person that has need. It may be a supply. But God will begin to move us in that direction, whereby we're not relying upon the government to do it. We're not relying upon others to provide. But understand what happens. We will be the ones that will provide for one another. Do you see what we're saying here? Because God has knowledge. Because what he does, he will begin to use those situations in such a way so that we are postured to display his love in a way that we otherwise would not be postured to display it. Because what he is saying here, he is saying now, if I have, you have. If we have, then those among us that are a part of us have. So now, you see, and where does it all come from? It comes from the Lord. But it all comes from seeking the kingdom of God, his righteous standard. And as a result of it, the love of God will flow in our hearts by way of the Holy Spirit, and it becomes easy for us to distribute. But not only that, God provides. He provides. He provides more than what we would otherwise receive as a result of seeking the kingdom. Why? Because in our pursuing the kingdom, whatever we mentioned before, what aspect of the kingdom has God placed upon your heart to pursue? What would be required of you in order to accomplish that? So to meet your need would be greater than the need of a person just surviving, just trying to get by. Why? Because now God will provide your need to supply the needs of others. He will provide your need to do whatever he's called you to do. Because now you see how all-encompassing it is. He says, you don't worry about these things. Seek the kingdom of God, his righteousness. And he said, and all these things shall be added unto you. And then he goes on to say, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow, and I like the way he puts it. He said, tomorrow will worry about its own things. Tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for today is its own trouble. The New Living Translation says, so don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. It has its own worries with it. He said, today's trouble is enough for today. So what happens, you see, give us this day our daily bread, what we're dealing with today, what we're dealing with today. Give us this day our daily bread. Lord, thank you for the daily bread. Thank you for your daily feeding. Now, you're thinking now materialistically, but also think about the daily word. Think about what your daily diet, the things that you need today. What are the things that are necessary to sustain you throughout this particular day? So what happens, we say, Lord, give me the word for today. Give me, Lord, whatever I need for today. I'm asking you to provide that. Now, I go to the Old Testament, and we begin to look at how God does this, and we understand it's Old Testament, but we still understand something about the heart of the people here in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1. He says, every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe. Now, we have some of the provisions or some of the how God deals with this. He said that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land on which the Lord swore to your fathers. And he says, and you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years, speaking about their wilderness wandering. He led 40 years in the wilderness. He said the purpose for 40, you understand that distance wouldn't take 40 years. But the reason it took 40 years, he says, to humble test you. He said, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He said, so the Lord said, now let me help you understand this. It's not that God didn't know, but he wanted you to know what he knows. He says, he did it to humble you so that you would know what's in your heart, but that it would be exposed as what's in your heart. He says, so he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, fed you. Now, here's where I'm headed. He fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know. He fed you. Now, you know what manna is. Manna was the bread or that food that came from heaven, heavenly food, that which came down from heaven, and it was full of all the nutrients, all the vitamins and nutrients that were necessary for the journey that they were taking through the wilderness for those 40 years. He says, so he fed you with, another way of putting it, what is it? It was more of a question than an answer, but it was a provision. But as far as understanding what it was or how it was, what was within it, you know, like today you want to read on the package as to what's contained within. Is it organic? Does it have too much salt? What is the sodium content? Whatever. No, the Lord said, he says, I didn't give you any writings on this thing. I didn't give you anything to reference. I just said, here it is. Eat it. And you say, well, Lord, I'm trying to read the small print. He said, no, I'm feeding you. I'm feeding you with manna. He said, so eat it. What is it? Don't worry about it. Eat it. He said, I fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know. He said that he may make you know, here it is, that man should not live by bread alone, but man shall live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Let's stop there for a moment, and let's understand what the Lord is saying. It brings them to a place of perpetual dependency, because he is saying, you don't know what you're eating, but what you're eating is preserving you. It's preserving you, but it's bringing you to a place, I'm testing you, will you trust me by eating what I'm serving to you? He said, it is to humble you so that now you're trusting me for your daily bread. You're trusting me for your daily bread. He says, so now, he said, as you're eating, he says, so man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. When God speaks, what God says is what you're to live by. So if God says, eat it, you eat it. I don't understand it. No, eat it. Whether you understand it or not, I can't comprehend. It's makeup. Eat it anyhow. He says, but not only that. He said, that's what you're eating. Neither did your garments wear out. It didn't wear out on you. You got the same clothes on, and they didn't wear out. Neither did your foot swell these 40 years. You see, and neither did your shoes wear out. He says, you should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. He chastened them by bring you into a place of perpetual dependency. He said, therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him, for the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. His objective is not to leave you here. He's bringing a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of the valleys and hills. And he goes on and on about what was there within the valley. I'm doing this for sake of time. He said, but where, when you're being fed by the Lord, that you don't forget him, that you don't forget the Lord your God, by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today, lest you, after you've eaten, and then you're full, and you built, later on now, you built beautiful houses and dwelt in them. In other words, your success and your prosperity oftentimes will cause a person to get to the place where they forget God. They start thinking it was them. He said, and when you your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied. There's a lot of folk, that's what happened. Their greatest, I would say, their greatest, the thing that stands in the way the most is the success they've had in life. He says, all you have, and you've multiplied. Your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land. You forgot about Egypt, brought you out of the land of, out of the house of bondage, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness and all the things that you have gone through. And people say, my power and my might of my hand has gained me this wealth. He says, this is what happens. People get beside themselves because they believe that maybe it's me. Let me tell you something. I was meditating even as I was coming here. I said, you know what? I said, even to minister the word of God, I said, every thought that comes to my mind had to be given to me by the Lord. Do you see that? So what it's saying here, it is saying that every thought that comes to mind, he is saying, well, what about the thing, the changing of my mind? I'm going to say this thing, but now God is shifting me to say another thing. God was showing me. He said, you know what? Don't think that it just happened. When you come to the place of yielding to the Holy Spirit, even those little shifts that take place within your life, you see, it's the Holy Spirit that's causing those shifts to occur. He said, and here's another thing too. He said, and then even the composition of people, the people that show up, the people that receive. I came to the place of realizing it is the Holy Spirit. Yeah. It is the Holy Spirit that will draw hearts to a place whereby individuals be receptive so that they're postured to receive what God has to offer. You see, so in other words, it is not by ingenuity, it is not by eloquence, it's not by any other thing. It all has to do with God. Do you see that? So what happens as we begin to pray and intercede and press into the Lord, here's what we're doing. We're saying, Lord, we want the prevenient grace of God to prepare hearts so that hearts are made ready so that what God is doing in me and in you, that people will be open and receptive to receive it. Do you see that? That's what God does. He says, so whatever's happening, he said, I can change hearts. I can bring people around. I can cause things to happen in an individual's life whereby their heart might have been as hard as a brick. He said, but when I get through with them, I can make them as tender so that they are brought to that place of receptivity. You see that? And then the other part, I said, Lord, this is my prayer. I said, Lord, I want my words to be of such. Because that's what the psalmist was saying. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight. I said, Lord, I pray to you that the words that I speak will not just be words to them, but it will be a penetrating word that will be heard in such a way that those that hear it will never have heard from you. And then it is not just a display of power, but I want the word, the spirit, and the power to so work together that those that hear it will know beyond refute that God has in fact spoken, God is yet doing what he is doing, so that those that hear the word of the Lord will know that they've had a divine encounter with the Lord. And that's what we're believing God for. We're believing that God is posturing us for divine encounters with him. And let me tell you something, with this new community that's coming here, but not just this community. We look at Metro Atlanta, the mess the city's in, and the world is in today. Not just Atlanta, but the world is in right now, the chaos and confusion that's taking place all around us. I said, there has to be a clarion call. There has to be a voice. There has to be a mouthpiece that's going to speak the word of the Lord in such a way that will arrest hearts so that when people hear it, they'll know they've heard from the Lord. And they will begin to gravitate towards him rather than toward their preferences, because we understand the things that the Gentiles are seeking after. This time of uncertainty, this time of wars and rumors of wars, diseases breaking out, and all kind of pandemics. People are asking questions like never before. I said, there has to be a word that can penetrate all of this and bring people to the place where their hearts are being arrested. And I said, Lord, let me be, and let us be that kind of people that can so speak that the word spoken will be irrefutable. So here's what he says here. Let's look at what he says. He calls it. I want to get the thing. He says, I want you to understand, I'm going to, he said, be obedient to my voice. That's what he says. He said, if by any means you forget the Lord, follow after other gods as it is, and serve them and worship them, he says, as the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so you shall perish because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. What God is saying in essence, we look at it here, he said, contained within the manna is a life source. It is a life source. He said, contained within the manna is all you need for the journey. This life's journey that God has you on is in there. Is in there. You understand? We talk about food. The daily bread. He said, I'm feeding you so that you're prepared for the journey. I'm getting you ready for where I'm about to send you. But it's going to take this in order for you to be strong enough to withstand the things that are going to come out against you. Manna, that which they did not understand. That which they do not understand. And they cannot completely figure out. That's what it is. I'm going to give you stuff that you did not understand and that you cannot completely figure out. He said, well, you know what? I can't get it. I want something that I can sink my teeth into. Let me tell you something. That's how they cried out. They said, we're tired of manna. You see, when we were in Egypt, there were flesh pots in Egypt. There were flesh pots. And we knew when we could smell it, And we could identify with it. We could relate to it. He said, so we want, you got us out here to have some of the stuff that we had while we were in Egypt. He said, not only that, we had quail. Oh, if I could just get my teeth, if I could just get some quail again. If I could just, that, now understand, a lot of times that's where people are. You say, this ain't church like I knew church to be. This is not the kind of spiritual experience that I'm seeking after. I want something that's more palatable to my taste. He said, they're crying out for quail. They said, just give us some quail. And what the Lord said, if you want quail, he said, the people, Moses, they're crying out for quail, Lord. They want some quail. They want me to hoop and holler. They want me to scream and yell. They want me to walk the pews. They want me to be colorful. They want me to be dynamic. They want me to, they're tired of this speech. They're tired of what they consider to be a lecture. They want something that's more entertaining and that's more far-reaching. Because they're saying, look, why aren't we? We could be doing this and that and the other, and you call us together for a conversation. But we could be out doing something. We want some quail. And he went to the Lord. Lord, they want some quail. Lord said, okay. He said, I'm going to heed to their voice. We'll give them some quail. He said, so now, he said, but they have to give up manna for quail. You can't have it both ways. You can't have it your way and God's way at the same time. So God stepped back, gave him quail, and guess what? The quail made him sick. What they sought after killed them. And the same thing applies today. What people are looking for can be fatal. It can kill them. So now, look at what the Lord is saying. He said, they don't understand this completely. They can't figure it out. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't. In other words, this doesn't feed me. It's too familiar. It's becoming too common. It's the same stuff over and over again. The Lord said, okay, based upon your journey, this is what you need. But they tell you what, if you reject it, I'll give you what you ask for. But what you ask for may not be what you really want once you get it. Now, Jesus began to deal with this in John chapter 6, verse 53. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, he said, lest you eat my flesh and drink my blood. He said, eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink the blood. You have no life in you. Well, I don't understand that. Except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Now, you just lost us. I would say that's the mass exodus, because now you've gone past us. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And he says that I will raise him up at the last day. He said, for my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So he who feeds on me will live because of me. Wait a minute. Now, what are you saying? Eat Jesus. Drink his blood. In other words, now the life source is the blood. He said, drink his blood, eat his flesh, so that you become flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, blood of his blood, so that you become one with Christ. That's the whole objective, to bring you to a place where you become, you're synergized with Christ, you become one with Christ. He said, except you do that, you have no life in you. You have no life. Well, wait a minute. I thought if I ate all this stuff, I had life. No, you don't have any life in you. What you're doing is killing you, is separating you from the life, because it's serving as a substitute for the life that I provide. He says, so now he is saying, he said, this is the bread which came down from heaven. He's talking about himself now. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He says, he who eats this bread will live forever. So now, what is he saying here? He said, now we begin to see the manna was merely a type of Christ. The manna was merely a type of Christ. He said, they ate and it preserved them for a 40-year journey. He said, but what I want to do, I'm not just taking you on a 40-year journey, I'm taking you to eternity so that you may have eternal life. He said, and in order for you to have eternal life, he said, you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. He said, but just like it was in the manna, that's hard to understand. Who can do that? What is he talking about? Cannibalism? Well, that's too deep. Where is he coming from? We want something that's more palatable. Why don't you talk about, help us with our daily activities. Help us raise our children. Help us with our homework. Help us with our housing, getting better housing and clothing and those kinds of things. He said, you see what happens? See what happens? Not that those things aren't important, but the most important thing, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then out of that, engage in the activities to which you're to be engaged. He says, so now, he said, they ate the manna. He eats this bread will live forever. He said, take it in and it will sustain you. Take it in. He said, here's what he said earlier. Man should not live by bread alone, but man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He said, so what God is yet speaking becomes your life. What God is yet saying, what God is saying right now is what you should live by. I was talking the other day and I said, well, it was like I told him how sometimes you can put a person in a corner by asking pointed questions. But ask the question, do you really want to live? Do you really want to live? Well, this is life. Jesus Christ. He says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Listen, it proceeds. That is yet being spoken. Are you listening? Every word that is yet being spoken, what is he really saying? He is saying that he is confirming through the lives of those and through the ministry of those that he has sent that which is already spoken. In other words, he began to say, because you see, the book of Acts didn't close out when the last chapter was written, but this is the book of Acts still being written today. It is what God is speaking to this generation. Hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church right here and right now. See, God is still talking. God is yet speaking. But, you know, a lot of people say, if I was living in the days of Peter and James and John, if I was just living back in the days Jesus Christ was walking, oh, I'd be tight with him. No, you would be as you are today. You see, because whatever your attitude is towards Christ today would be your attitude if you had been living back then. So don't think that because you read the book that you would have been different, but you would be as you are today. You see that? So what God is saying, he says, so now, he said, to prove you. So this is, you see, this is a challenge to all of us, because to prove us, where do we really stand? How does our Christianity measure up to the Christianity when it comes to the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints? To prove us. And let me tell you something. When I'm preaching this, let me just tell you how much love is in my heart. It grieves me when I have to preach a hard message. But this generation is so in desperate need of something that will shake us, that it becomes more necessary today than ever before. You see, we've heard enough smooth stuff already, but those that really love God, because I like the way the scripture says, love the Lord with your whole heart, soul, and mind and strength. Then you're empowered to love your neighbor as yourself. Why? Because you'll speak the truth in love. Are you saying this? You'll speak the truth in love. Now, let me tell you the difference between speaking the truth in anger and hostility. That's when a person is, I don't care about you. I got mine, you get yours. It's more condemnation and those kind of things. Let me tell you something. God so loved us that even when we misbehave, he still loves us. Even when we're not doing the thing that we ought to be doing, the Lord is still saying, I still love you. I still love you. And let me tell you, so Holy Spirit is yet there, even though he's not permitted to work as he would like to work within our lives. But he is grieved when he cannot function within us as he would like to function. But understand this, that's love. Love is aligning our hearts and our lives with the Lord. So now, let's go back to this. He says, I want you to understand, every word you must live by. I began to think about my own life, and I began to even look at it this way. I said, as much as I love, I said, Lord, I want the word to have that kind of impact. And I want to be in a place where you know me to be friendly. You know me to be loving. You know me to be a particular way. And then there are some, somebody else said that before. He said, you know, there are some people that can't handle your humanity. He said, some people can't handle your humanity. He said, because the closer you get with people, he said, oftentimes it is out of that closeness, it's out of that, I would say, that familiarity, the fact that they get to see not only the best side, but the worst side of you that they can't receive any longer. They said, I can't receive from you because I saw that time you blew up. So that was enough. That was enough for me. I'm done. I saw you blow up. I saw you that time when you were angry and you said some things that you shouldn't have said. You shouldn't have handled it that particular way. So I'm done. You see, some people can't handle your humanity. They can't handle your humanity. But let me tell you something. When you're a true disciple, you see, I'm not talking about church member. We talk about disciple now. You see the good, the bad, and the ugly. Because you come to the place of realizing that even leaders are being led and being worked on in the process. Is that making sense? God is still correcting. God is still handling. Many times I had to go and say, Lord, I that attitude. I remember the other day, I said, the Lord checked me. He said, there were certain things you said in private to among a particular member that you should not have said. He said, because it was too weighty for them. It was too weighty for them. They can't handle. Because now you're sharing your heart. But the things on your heart was too weighty for that person to manage because now they have to do something with what you shared with them. And it was just putting too much weight upon that individual to manage. I think I talked about it the other week about how even pastors must get around pastors and share among their peers. He said, because when you start opening up among certain people, some of the things you share will be a little bit too much for the people that hear. And they can't receive because now they see your humanity, but now they can't see the fact that the word of God is yet being spoken and is yet working through you. So now, you see, what happens, he feeds us with manna. But his purpose for feeding us with manna is to lead us into the unknown. Let me tell you something. Now that has to do with all of us. He is saying, the things that I'm yet to discover about Christ, what happens when the Holy Spirit is leading, he leads us into those things. He leads us into the unknown. I said, so in other words, here's what happened. We discover those things together. Let me tell you how intriguing that is. We know that God is omniscient. He has known things. But when we look at the humanity of Christ, the humanity of Christ. Christ, even though he is God in the flesh, the Bible says he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. So when I begin to look at that scripture, here's what I take from that, is that Christ, even though we understand that he has knowledge of all things, Christ discovers with us those things that we discover in life. In other words, it is like when he learned obedience to the things he suffered, in his humanity, he learned obedience. He learned what it was like to be rejected. He learned what it's like to suffer. He learned what it's like to be tempted in various areas of our life. You see, these are things that Christ learned. So now we do not have a high priest who has not been touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but at all points we're tempted, but yet without sin. Because what Christ can do, he can identify with our struggle. He can identify with us. So now what happens, can you imagine God with us, but God in us, but God discovering with us those things that we are yet discovering. So in other words, he gets excited right along with us when we discover something new and intriguing. He said, isn't that something? Isn't that something? So now, look at this. He feeds us. He leads us to know and understand. I'm almost done here, but 1 Thessalonians 2 and 13. He said, for this reason, we also give thanks. We also thank God without ceasing because when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, he said, you welcomed it, not as the word of man, but as in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. So here's what happened. Look at what Paul was saying. He was saying, I'm not an expert. I'm not a party when it comes to all these things. He said, but what happens, as God would reveal to me a truth to share with you, he said, the amazing thing is that we discover things about God together. You talk about miracles now, signs and wonders. We talk about growth. We talk about God blessing. You talk about even our prayers, when we get to pray and we say, Lord, we're trusting you to do the impossible. We trust you to do. Can you imagine this now? When we get to the place, he said, it is faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. When we hear the word of God and we believe the word of God and act upon that which we believe, then God shows up among us. And here's what God does. He doesn't just do what we would like for him to do. He does much more than we could ever ask or think. And he says, according to power that works in us, but it amazes us. It's like, but we can't take credit for it. But we step back and say, Lord, to God be the glory for the great things that you are in fact doing and that you have in fact done. So when we receive the word, that's what I'm saying. When God speaks, understand, he is not speaking to you. He's not just speaking to y'all. He's speaking to us. He's speaking to me and you and all of us. He is saying, I'm giving you a word. That's what I said. God has a way, by way of his spirit, to direct my attention towards a particular thing. And understand, when he guides us towards that particular thing, that's an area of focus that God would want us to pay attention to. Do you see that? Because why is it? And then we see it. Then he confirms it time and time and time again. You saw that happen many other times where God will begin to confirm his word. He confirmed his word through one coming and began to two or three witnesses. He will confirm his word with two or three witnesses by saying, okay, what God is saying. You'll hear it again, you'll hear it again, you'll hear it again. But then he confirms his word with signs following. You see, he will have a witness, but he will also then will begin to see the signs following the word. God will say, well, not only will I provide for you a witness, but now I'm going to allow the works themselves to speak. See, the works then will begin to speak. He said, now you begin to see the manifestation of that very thing that you heard. But how does it happen? Because of faith. We believed the word of God. We took in the word of God, and God began to show us and reveal to us things that we otherwise would not have seen. And here's what he does. He does it through us. He does it through us, through people, through vessels of clay. Can you imagine this? Your weaknesses, here's what God does. He knew that you had weaknesses before you even told him. Before you even told him you had weaknesses. You need to go before the Lord and be honest about the things that he revealed to you about yourself. That's what you're doing. You just, when we pray, for the most part, and we are confessing before the Lord, all we're doing is speaking to God things that God has made known to us that he already knew, but he's making known to us that we are now able to know about ourselves. And we say, Lord, I just want to tell you that I have an issue such and such. The Lord said, I already knew it, but I'm glad that now you're willing and ready to acknowledge the fact that that is, in fact, a problem. And so when we go before the Lord with all that, so then as we continue to do that, then there's a word that will, you see, confession, the word spoken, somebody else come confirm it. You'll turn on the radio, you'll hear the message again, you'll read the scripture, you'll get confirmation upon confirmation upon confirmation. In other words, so the Lord is reiterating what he has already spoken so that there you know that it was God speaking and it wasn't just something just thrown at you, but it was the word of God spoken. Then watch what happens. And then if you've heard that, if faith is exercised within that, then the signs will follow. God will say, now I have reiterated, I've sent you witnesses. Now what's going to happen? You're going to be the witness. Because what am I going to do? I'm getting ready now to display my power through you so that those limitations that you've had in the past, those hindrances that were there in the past, he said, I want to handle that. I'll handle that. I'll handle all of that. I tell you, we're ready now. We're talking about healings and creative miracles and those kinds of things. I say, well, you all have a part to do in that. We all have a part. We want this to become an environment of faith, so that when people walk within, you can just sense the presence of the Lord among us. Amen. You see, thank you, Elder Byrd and others who are praying and continue early morning prayers. Brother Doug and many other early morning prayer, praying constantly. You say, well, I pray. No, praying together. You see, there's something about togetherness. Praying together, moving together, being on one accord, so that we can experience the suddenly of God as a result of trusting him together. And then you say, well, how does my little part have anything to do with it? You'd be amazed, because it's like manna. It's like manna. How does it work? You don't understand. How does it come together? It's beyond your pay grade to understand that. So don't even try. But understand this. When we begin to take in what God is speaking, what God is saying, and allow it to become life within you and within me, then it sustains us and preserves us for the journey. But not only for the journey, but understand along the way, all that God desired to do, we'll begin to see those things done. So, Father, we thank you so much, and we praise you for the fact that you're helping us to understand how this works, so that we are not a place where we are trying to do it ourselves or be so frustrated as to believe it doesn't work. I see so many casualties today, people who have become shipwrecked in the area of faith because to them, the word doesn't work. To them, you're not even real. To them, based upon their perception, all of this was just fantasy, even though there was a time they once believed. But out of their failures, out of the mishaps and misfortunes within their lives, many have caved in and lost hope and given up, stopped trusting. But Lord, you're reminding us tonight that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that your desire to do something in this day, in this hour, is to manifest your presence. It will show not only those that are among us how real you are, but it will show the world that you are the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So Lord, give us this day our daily bread. May we feast on the manna that is sent forth from heaven. And that's your Son, Jesus Christ. Then, Lord, we can be the Christ that we are called to be, Jesus Christ being the head, but us becoming the body of Christ in this, our generation. So we thank you for it. And Lord, may the Christ that we say we believe in not be divided. The Christ we say that we trust not be divided, but be one on one accord, allowing the one Spirit to move us in one direction. So in this, we give you the honor. We give you the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.